When Nicodemus came to Jesus under the cover of darkness, little did he know the direction in which his conversation would go. His appeal to Jesus was based solely on empirical evidence. We see the signs you're doing, Jesus, and we're not dumb. You're a teacher sent from God. You have to be. There isn't even a question in there. Not that it really would have mattered that much, though, because Jesus immediately hijacks whatever conversation Nicodemus thought he might be having with Jesus, as he takes his visitor far off topic. Or does he? Perhaps it would be more accurate to say that Jesus' discourse in John chapter 3 is a brilliant demonstration precisely of what Nicodemus had asserted at the very beginning, that Jesus was in fact a teacher sent from God. And oh, what teachings he delivered to Nicodemus that night. The takeaway that Nicodemus must have gained that night in his conversation was the realization that the miracles themselves would simply not be enough to know who this man truly was. It would not gain an adequate picture for him, for it was the words of Jesus that were needed. And John certainly provides an abundance of those words throughout his gospel account. Speaking of an abundance, anyone who's ever studied this text from John chapter 3 knows quite well that there is a life of learning contained in these few verses. Indeed, if you turn to Luther's sermons on the topic, our pericope alone covers 100 pages, covered over 11 different sermons he preached. Now, I don't have the luxury of time that Luther had, and neither do you, lest you not get back to class. So I'm going to focus on just one word. God loved the world in this way that he gave his only son. That's right, we don't have the new Greekies here yet, so I can trot out the Greek and say it's one of those dreaded me verbs, didomi. He gave his only son. And the reason why I'd like to focus on that word today is because we find ourselves at that point in the church year, which is right at the turning point between the two halves of the year. For 6 months, we've rehearsed God's saving deeds accomplished through his sending of his son. You could say that everything we've heard from the first Sunday of Advent all the way to the day of Pentecost has been one point, namely the unfolding of what it means that God loved the world. Back in December, we heard that voice in the wilderness proclaiming the advent of God's reign among us in the person of his son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We listened as the angels announced to the shepherds in the field the glad tidings of the birth of a Savior. And with that announcement, we were given just a glimpse into the mystery of God's self-giving, that this Savior by whom all things were made, this Savior would be found wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. In the River Jordan, we found this sinless Son of God undergoing a baptism of repentance as he stepped into the cesspool of our humanity and began his identification with sinners. In the wilderness, we found him weakened, undergoing temptation on our behalf, wielding nothing more than the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to combat our ancient foe. When his hour had fully come, we witnessed the depths of our Father's love, as the mockery and lies, the beating and the savagery robbed God's Son of his dignity and honor, and ultimately his life, as he was lifted up, and as he gave up his spirit and brought all things to completion. And then for 50 grand days, we basked in the glow of his resurrection victory, repeating our acclamation that he's risen, and that death's dread sting has been stripped of all its power. With the sending of the Spirit on Pentecost, God's self-giving continued, and still does, not with an absent Jesus, but one who is continually present in his holy church, imparting life itself as he gives himself for the strengthening of our faith. This is how God loves the world, by giving his very dearest treasure to us. The sheer selflessness of God's love, of his self-giving, can at times put us to shame. How often have we failed to heed the call to repentance that John proclaimed, or been scandalized by the foolishness of the cross? After all, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes? Can't God do better than that? The As we hear the Passion account each year during Holy Week, we can't help but see ourselves in that story, running with the rest of the disciples at the first sign of persecution, and falling victim along with Peter to deny our Savior in order to preserve our own skin. And even though we shout our joyful acclamation that Christ is risen, we still cower in fear as the church confronts brazen attacks on the central tenets of our faith, and even faces the hostile environment that may one day rob us of the freedoms that we have so long enjoyed, in this country at least. In the face of these unsettling times, have we forgotten that the Lord truly is risen, and that the church proclaims a message of victory, even though it would be in the midst of defeat? Yes, God loves. He loves precisely in this way. He gave his only son. Or as Luther so eloquently puts it in his hymn, he gave his dearest treasure, the bright jewel of his crown. He gave that son for you, that you might have life and have it to the fullest. The first half of the church year is now over, and the long green season is about to sprout. Right at the hinge of those two halves of the year, we celebrated Trinity Sunday, a teaching that is unquestionably filled with mystery. And yet, the doctrine of the Trinity is eminently practical. So I leave you with words of Luther. From his large catechism, he summarizes the teaching regarding the Creed. Here in the Creed, Luther says, you have the entire essence of God, his will and his work, exquisitely depicted in very short but rich words. In them consists all our wisdom, which surpasses all the wisdom, understanding, and reason of men. Although the whole world has sought painstakingly to learn what God is and what he thinks and does, yet it has never succeeded in the least. But here you have everything in richest measure. In these three articles, God himself is revealed and opened to us the most profound depths of his fatherly heart, his sheer, unutterable love. He created us for this very purpose, to redeem and sanctify us. Moreover, having bestowed upon us everything in heaven and on earth, he has given us his Son and his Holy Spirit, through whom he brings us to himself. We would never come to recognize the Father's favor and grace were it not for the Lord Christ, who is a mirror of the Father's heart. Apart from him, we see nothing but an angry and terrible judge. But neither could we know anything of Christ had it not been revealed by the Holy Spirit. His teaching brings pure grace and makes us upright and pleasing to God. Through this knowledge, we come to love and delight in all the commandments of God, because we see that God gives himself completely to us with all his gifts and all his power. The Father gives us all creation, Christ all his works, the Holy Spirit all his gifts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.